The New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 205. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Thank you for joining me today. So what did you do yesterday, Monday? I had a plumbing emergency, oh joy. A copper pipe in one of the walls of my house sprung a leak, and I spent most of the day repairing it. And of course, since it was in a wall, I had to cut a nice big hole in the drywall to get to the pipe. I think I'll wait a few days before repairing that drywall so that everything inside can get a chance to dry out. Oh boy, the joys of home ownership, huh? Well, let's get to today's reading. We're going to read Romans 9 today from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, our translation for the week. Let's begin. Romans chapter 9. I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience is testifying to me with the Holy Spirit that I have intense sorrow and continual anguish in my heart. For I could almost wish to be cursed and cut off from the Messiah for the benefit of my brothers, my own flesh and blood. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the temple service, and the promises. The ancestors are theirs, and from them, by physical descent, came the Messiah, who is God over all, praised forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Neither are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants. On the contrary, your offspring will be traced through Isaac. That is, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but the children of the promise are considered to be the offspring. For this is the statement of the promise: at this time I will come, and Sarah will have a son. And not only that, but also Rebekah received a promise when she became pregnant by one man, our ancestor Isaac. For though her sons had not been born yet, or done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to election might stand, not from works but from the one who calls, she was told, "The older will serve the younger." As it is written, "I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau." What should we say then? Is there injustice with God? Absolutely not. For he tells Moses, "I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." So then it does not depend on human will or effort, but on God who shows mercy. For the Scripture tells Pharaoh, "I raised you up for this reason, so that I may display my power in you, and that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." So then, he shows mercy to those he wants to, and he hardens those he wants to harden. You will say to me, therefore, "Why then does he still find fault? Who can resist his will?" But who are you, a mere man, to talk back to God? Will what is formed say to the one who formed it, "Why did you make me like this?" Or has the potter no right over the clay to make from the same lump one piece of pottery for honor and another for dishonor? And what if God, desiring to display his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience objects of wrath ready for destruction? And what if he did this to make known the riches of his glory on objects of mercy that he prepared beforehand for glory, on us, the ones he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles? As he also says in Hosea, "I will call not my people, my people, and she who is unloved, beloved." And it will be in the place where they were told, "You are not my people," there they will be called sons of the living God. But Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, "Though the number of Israel's sons is like the sand of the sea, only the remnant will be saved, for the Lord will execute his sentence completely and decisively on the earth." And, just as Isaiah predicted, "If the Lord of hosts had not left us offspring, we would have become like Sodom, and we would have been made like Gomorrah." What should we say then? Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained righteousness, namely the righteousness that comes from faith. But Israel, pursuing the law for righteousness, has not achieved the righteousness of the law. Why is that? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, "Look, I am putting a stone in Zion to stumble over, and a rock to trip over. Yet the one who believes on him will not be put to shame." May God bless the reading of his word. So here in chapter 9, Paul is again speaking to the Jews with a message that was difficult for some of them to hear, but again, it's good news for us. He told him that it wasn't genetic background that makes a person the child of God, but faith in Jesus. No matter how hard you pursue righteousness, if you're relying on following the law to get you there, you'll fall short. And there's a passage in the chapter that I just want to touch on. It's where Paul quotes from the Old Testament book of Malachi, where God said, "I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau." The Old Testament was, of course, written in Hebrew. And the Hebrew language for hate here is different than the way we use the word. In Hebrew, it was more of a comparative word used in tandem with love. God loved Jacob more than he loved Esau. That's probably how we would say it in English. God bestowed blessings upon Jacob, which he withheld from Esau. With us, when we say we hate someone, it's almost an active emotion. It's an emotion directed at someone. In Hebrew, it's not that. It's just less attention, less love when compared to someone else. Well, I hope to see you back here tomorrow with another reading from Psalms. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.